What up, though? Hey, everybody. iHeartMeeKo podcast. Welcome back. Welcome my goddamn self back. I took a break. Since the Super Bowl, I've been on a break. And so I just wanted to make sure that when I came back, I had this video thing set up and everything was going right. And I was advancing the iHeartMeeKo podcast. And so as you can see me now. I can't see you guys yet. I can't hear you yet. I'm still working on some things, but just trust that every week I'm hoping that I give you a podcast with video so you can see me, however ugly or pretty I am that day. That song you just heard, intro in the podcast, is from Moneybagg Yo, who, you guys know I don't listen to a lot of hip-hop, a lot of rap, but I do like ratchet hip-hop, and Moneybagg Yo is really one of my favorites. And the reason I chose that song is because the bitch was trending the other day. Shout out to me for trending for the right reasons this time. I'm usually trending, you know, because of some dumb shit, but this time it was just me, you know, representing my family and supporting my nigga and talking my shit as usual. And so I was trending because it was a lot of fuck niggas on Twitter talking shit to me and you know, discrediting me as a part of my husband's success. And I started to run down some things that happened early on in his career with us, and I happened to mention, you know, ducking his sick. Aiden is somewhere around there. Get out of here, Aiden. Anyway, and just talking about the things that I said to him and the support that I gave him and believing in him. And I feel like that was a big part of his success. And a lot of people like either laughed at it or thought it was funny or, you know, tried to disrespect me, said it was too TMI, too much. Why are you giving all this information? It's Twitter and it's my fucking Twitter. Why do people care? Why do people care so much about what other people tweet? Like, tweet what you want to tweet, my nigga. Why are you worried about what somebody else is tweeting? You mad that I'm actually saying whatever the fuck I want to say and you can't? You mad you don't got a bitch that will suck you till she got lockjaw, nigga? Is that what the problem is? I mean, y'all niggas is really bitches for real online. And that's really why I was trending, because there's a lot of bitch niggas out here that really get mad at a woman for being like most of their favorite rappers. You know, you get a nigga rapping about getting his dick sucked, or, you know, a girl rapping about sucking dick or eating pussy, being bisexual, doing this, that, and the third. And the shit is fucking platinum. But all of a sudden, because I'm a football wife and I come on Twitter and I tell my real life truth and the shit that goes on in my house, suddenly I'm disrespectful. Suddenly I'm a cunt. Suddenly I have no class. I'm so glad I don't need you niggas to pay my bills, because y'all some bitches, straight up bitches. But I appreciate y'all for allowing a bitch to trend once again, because I really feel like I deserved it. I was doing my shit, talking my shit, and that shit was fun. And, of course, another reason I was trending too is because I was shitting on everybody for Easter. So happy Easter, everybody. Today's Easter Sunday. And, I'm not no Christian. I'm not actually a religious person at all. I don't practice any religion. I think they're all made up, and were all made up for various reasons, but the majority of them were made up to control people, to scare them into being good people and into putting money into the church and making church people rich. I'm not into any of those things. I'm not going to be scared by anybody else. Life is scary enough. And I'm allowed to give my motherfucking money to no churches where these motherfuckers have G4s, they have planes, they got big-ass estates, all these cars and shit. And then the people coming into the church trying to dress up, don't even have nice shoes or nothing to wear, but you're going to tithe your 10% to this fuck nigga? I'm cool. The church has got me fucked up, for real. I'm off all of that shit. But, happy Easter, though. If you believe, and that's what the fuck you believe in, and you really feel like God died for your sins, Jesus, whoever you rep for, died for your sins, and good for you, my nigga. Good for you. I don't believe in any of it. I think it's all bullshit. I'm a very, very spiritual person. And if you really want to know who I pray to, like real shit, I pray to the sun. And I believe the sun is extremely important in my life, in everybody's life, in living, anything living's life. And so anytime I'm praying, I'm talking to God, I'm talking to the sun, my nigga. That's who I'm talking to. He talks back to me. He responds. He gives me examples. He fucks me over when I do something that I know I shouldn't have done. And he rewards me when I'm a good person. And that's what I'm going to continue to do, my nigga. And I don't have to give him a fucking dime. I don't have to show up somewhere on a certain day. I don't have to be fake friends with people that's also follow the sun. And I don't have to get on social media and argue with people that don't believe that the sun is God. I don't have to do none of that. He ain't telling me to do none of that shit. He told me to be a good person. And if I don't, shit's going to be fucked up on my life on earth. And if I do, shit is going to be fucking awesome in my life on earth. And I feel like I'm doing a good job because a bitch is having the time of her life. And my family's happy. Everybody's happy. We're doing our thing. My husband just got another contract. Yeah, you fuck niggas. Y'all remember what you said about a bitch? You said Brent Grimes was going to be out the league because of me. You said nobody was going to give him no money. You said the nigga was washed. And here we are, year 13. Fuck what you heard. It's not year 12. NFL Europe season counted. My nigga, that shit counted. It was NFL. He was paid and he won a Super Bowl, a.k.a. World Bowl. So this is year 13. So you niggas lied. Okay, y'all some liars. Y'all like that Warriors team. When the Cavs beat him, y'all some liars. So shout out my nigga Brent Grimes, baby daddy, he over there, for continuing to prove niggas wrong on the field as I prove these fuck niggas wrong off the field. I had a bunch of things I wanted to talk to y'all about in the intro, outside of just Easter being full of shit. Oh, football players, please pay attention to me. Please pay attention. April 20th, exactly 19 days from now, is when you will be able to be tested for all of your street drugs, okay? That's the coke and the weed. Those are the only two I'm going to really concern myself with because I know if you ain't doing coke, you're doing weed. For the majority of the league, there's a few that ain't doing nothing. There's a sprinkle here and there that is actually not doing nothing, but the majority of the NFL is doing coke or weed or both. So listen, my nigga, I have studied this. I am a weed smoker, okay? If you stop smoking weed tomorrow, you'll be fine by April 20th. You'll be just fine, okay? Anything after tomorrow, my nigga, you're telling me you don't care about your NFL career, and I don't care what happens to you. Any of you niggas that fail this drug test are stupid as fuck, okay? They give you the dates, okay? From April 20th to training camp, you can be randomly tested for street drugs. On any day, it don't matter if you are in Dubai, my nigga, in Africa, wherever you at, they pulling up on your ass in 15 minutes with a nigga holding your dick while you're pissing a cup, making sure that's your piss. So if you want to keep smoking weed after tomorrow, then you don't care about your career. If you see any of your friends, your homies and family members in the NFL still smoking weed and doing coke and all that shit after tomorrow, just know they don't care about their career. Okay, it's time to stop. After the March Madness, this is a big way for you to know. After the Madness, you must stop smoking weed, okay? Give it up. The coke, all that, let it go. Wait for your test. It's not fucking worth it, okay? That's a big PSA for all my football players. Lose it, my nigga. Lose it. This is the last weekend for smoking weed until you get your test. Now, once you get your test, you get to roll back up. Some people get their test late April, early May, and then they start smoking. You can smoke the whole summer, the whole football season, the off season, all the way back around to April 2nd. Okay, so this is an education lesson for the fans as well. They can smoke weed. They just can't get seen with it at all, and they can't test positive for it from April 20th to training camp. All right, so good luck to all the players. Don't be stupid, my nigga. Don't lose your career over no weed. Don't do that. And that's why I hate when I see, like, fans and, like, if a player does get caught pop for smoking weed or, you know, and there's Molly, too. Be careful of that Molly, y'all. That shit test positive, like the steroid shit. That shit have cost you a lot of bread. So just stay away from Molly, my nigga, all the way around. They test for that shit all year. Molly and steroids are tested year-round, random, at any moment. Stay away from those. But a lot of these parents and fans, when they see a player fail a drug test, they want to be so upset. They want to be like, my son believes in you. You're his role model. Guess whose fault that is, bitch nigga? Your fault. If your children's role models are not you and your wife or you and your husband, all y'all fucked up. All y'all fucked up in life, okay? Aiden loves LeBron James. Aiden thinks LeBron James is everything in basketball, but you know what he's not? He's not his role model. Brent Grimes and Miko Grimes are his role models. And I get it. You're saying, well, Brent's an athlete too. Well, guess what, nigga? Aiden didn't know Brent was famous until like a year and a half ago. Okay? He didn't even know. He didn't even know the games were on TV, and he fucking watches the games on TV, but he just thought, I don't know what he thought, but all the kids at school let him know just how famous his dad is. And he came home like, wait a minute. So my dad is famous? Like, people know him? Those games are all on TV when I'm there? I'm like, yeah. And that's when he started saying, oh, wow. He didn't even know his father was even in a spectrum with a LeBron James or a Jordan or a Kobe or Messi. Like, he didn't even know his dad was a professional athlete. He just thought he played football because he wanted to play. He even told some kids at school, they had a jersey day because at his school they have uniforms. Some kids wore Brent's uniform to school. Aiden went up to the kids and told them to take the fucking uniform off. And the kids was like, why? And he was like, why don't you just tell your dad to go up to the team and say he wants to play, and then he could play. They'll give him a jersey, and he could play every Sunday. He had no clue that his dad made money, like a lot of money to play and all that. And that's because we don't care about that. Like, he'll learn that from the rest of you motherfuckers. That's not my job. My job is to make sure he's a great young man and he knows that there is no better role models in his life than this bitch and that nigga over there. And that's what he knows. And that's why y'all need to stop blaming players for fucking up your kid's idea of a role model, because you should be the role model. You should. They should look up to your ass and what you're doing. They should see you working hard, you and your wife or you and your husband, seeing y'all taking care of them and be like, yo, these niggas right here, they got my back. These are the people that I want to be like. Not a nigga they probably never gonna meet that don't give a fuck about them either. These players don't give a fuck about your kid. Yes, they gonna smile and take a picture when they see him. Yes, they love the children. They love the kids and the youth. But in the grand scheme, they don't give a fuck about your child, okay? Fuck your child in the grand scheme. You need to hear that from a wife, okay? Don't nobody, none of these players care about your kid. So you can continue to be a fan and show up and buy their jerseys and support, just like you buy anything else in life. You got to pay for it. Anything you buy, you're supporting that business, okay? So if you ain't going to stop supporting McDonald's because they're not role models either, why the fuck would you stop supporting a player? It's entertainment. If they're entertaining you, support them, nigga, and that's it, okay? That's it. I want to address a reporter that asked Steve Kerr one of the dumb, I think it was the dumbest question of the entire season. He asked Steve Kerr, since Steve Kerr speaks out about police brutality and injustices against black people, how come he never sees Steve Kerr at any of the funerals or any of the marches? And Steve Kerr looked at him and was like, are you serious? Like, nigga, do you not know he has a job? Do you not understand that? And I thought y'all wanted them to shut up and dribble and shut up and coach and all that stuff anyway. So make up your mind, media. Do you want people to care or not? You know what? It don't fucking matter what the media wants. We don't do what the fuck we want to do. Stop asking people stupid ass questions, okay? Steve Curry, I commend you for your response. You were very classy, but you should have said, bitch, nigga, shut the fuck up. That's what you should have told him. How the fuck a nigga gonna go to a march? Anyway, who the fuck? I wouldn't dare. I saw, what's his name? Mike, what the fuck is his name? Shit, I forgot his name. I can't even believe I forgot his name. But anyway, he did an interview on the NRA's website. And everybody crucified him because of the platform that he used. And I was saying to myself, I get it. I get that you don't want him to do an interview on the NRA's website, but I got what he said. And I agree with him on the fact that my child would never be in this march for our lives. Shit, never. For what? Whose life we marching for first? Tell me whose life we marching for first, and then I will tell you if I want to go, because I don't think you're marching for black people's lives. I'm offended by the fact that all these white kids are on magazine covers. They're getting money. They're doing all these interviews. They're looked up as role models. But when any time somebody black dies and we march, niggas go get the SWAT team and kill us and gas us and shoot rubber bullets at us. Shit is never the same energy when white people march. Y'all want to get mad. Y'all want me to march with y'all because white kids are shooting up white schools, I'm cool. I'm not marching for that. I'm not doing none of that shit. I don't care about that movement at all. And I don't give a fuck who's mad about it, okay? Why don't nobody bomb or shoot up no black schools? You ever thought about that? No hood schools. How come these white racists and these people that have all these mental illnesses and these issues, people think that it's mental illness that's causing these shooters? No, it's not. Because there's mental illnesses in every country in the world and this shit ain't happening. It's guns. We need better gun reform. We need to reform the Second Amendment. It's problems. Take the guns? Fuck no, because I don't trust this government. But there definitely needs to be more difficult ways. There should not even be AR-15s for sale for a regular human being, my nigga. What do you need that for? That's for murder. AR-15s are to murder someone. A gun is supposed to be in self-defense so that you might not kill them. You can, but you don't need to kill them. AR-15 is to murder. So we need to just remove that whole gun from being able to be bought by human beings. If you want to shoot that bitch, you got to go somewhere and rent it out while you're there, shoot it up wherever you're at and leave it the fuck there and go home to your 9 and your 45 and your Glock and all the shit like I do, the Ruger, all those. I got all those. All right? But that gun needs to be banned, okay? And they don't shoot up these black schools, and there ain't no shootings at black schools because first, we got hella metal detectors. That's first. And second, these niggas ain't really crazy. They don't want that smoke from the hood. They'll never make it out the hood. You'll never even get in half the time. You won't even get in. So no, I'm not marching for our lives. That's not my life. That's not my life, my nigga. Let me know we're marching for black people. Let me know we're marching for these pigs that continually murder us. Okay? Stephon Clark got shot 6 times in the back. Fuck y'all. Fuck 12 and fuck anybody that got a problem with the fuck I'm talking about too. All right? So let me know who we marching for, and then I might march with you, fuck niggas. Till then, have a seat, march for our lives. Have a seat, me too. Have a seat, time's up. None of that shit is about black people, so I'm not fucking with it. And whoever got a problem with it, deal with it. Now you're about to start this motherfucking show. I apologize. I don't have all the video from the interviews. I'm still working on my shit. You know, I'm sensitive, so don't even come at me about it. I had a rough day. But I will have Omar Kelly on. He's going to cover all of my NFL shenanigans and cover the Dolphins, of course. And then I'm going to have Black Trey on. He's going to cover all my NBA and shenanigans and things like that. We'll get the fuck out of here. Hopefully this is under 2 hours. I know I'll be holding y'all. And I want to apologize before I get the fuck out of here, too, for the juice ending. If y'all want the juice to come back, hit up Stacey Chambers and tell her to make it happen. She can use my studio. She can record it. She live right around the goddamn corner. She needs to lead and drive the show, and I will be her guest if she needs me to, or she can have any other guest, but she can have my entire studio. She can record the juice. It was 100% her idea, 100% her lane. She can actually do it. She just needs to actually want to do it, and I will teach her and everything. All right, so just hit Stacey Chambers up if y'all want the juice. And let me get on with this shit, because first up, we will have Omar Kelly covering the NFL and the shenanigans right now. Omar.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Happy second birthday of Jesus. Because he rose.
Resurrection Sunday.
He rose yes. Today, right? That's what we're doing. He rose.
That's correct. He's celebrating the resurrection of Jesus.
Did you go to church today?
No, I saw your tweet about that. I'm one of those people. I go to church I'll go to church, but not necessarily the Sunday of Easter, just because I don't necessarily want to.
You ain't got time.
No, it's not that I don't have time. I just prefer church without the production.
Respect. Well, you know I didn't go.
Yes, I know. It's all good. Everybody.
I have things to do.
I don't have a heaven or hell for anybody.
Thank you.
I don't have God. God is not. God has got a wrath, but God doesn't want anybody to judge us, but Himself, and convict us, but Himself. And if He chooses to so convict people, and you feel the presence of God, and you want to introduce Him into your life and live your life for Him, then power to you. Hey. If you don't, then I don't. You know. God bless you.
That's all I be saying to people. I'll be like, listen, none of it matters anymore. You know, like you don't get to tell me like what I'm doing is going to cause this or that. Like, I'm not going to believe you anymore. Like, I know now. I know what it is.
I mean, to me, with this is something that I've really come to terms with over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
As my ex always said, and I truly do understand the meaning of it now.
Mm-hmm.
The devil was God's closest confidant. He was the greatest of all fallen angels. And even he knows the Bible just as well as God. So religion to me is something that's not healthy. Spirituality is healthy.
Yes.
Religion is not healthy.
Yes, Omar, talk about it. I'm very spiritual. I'm spiritual as fuck is what I try to tell people, and they don't understand that. And it's like, listen, I have gone through this life on my own journey. You know, we all have people influencing us and advising us and, you know, just telling us where to go. Parents, friends, wives, you know, girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And on my journey, I've just kind of figured out that I don't need to practice a religion. For what? I think that a religion is for, you know, it was designed to control people, to put in like guilt if you're not living right, if you're not doing right. And then it goes even further when you think about slavery, and this religion was forced on our people. There's a lot. It goes deep, Omar. And what I figured out is, from what I know, what I've learned, I'm comfortable with that. I'm cool with my life. Like, I'm good. I'm happy, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't really care what nobody else says.
You have been truly blessed.
Yeah. And I don't even believe in God. I don't even believe in Jesus. People, you know, there's like, is that not crazy?
You know, I don't know. Like, I here's my thing, and I always say this now. I say something, if I'm mentioning God, I say you're God.
Yeah, I tell people that to people, yeah. Because you don't know what people practice.
Yeah, I don't know what people practice. Not only that, but I don't know who is the ultimate God. Is Buddha,
none of us.
None of us do. And truthfully speaking, if Jesus wanted, and not to say that I don't believe in Jesus, because I absolutely do believe in Jesus, but all this time that has gone by, all of the opportunities that we've had to see the third coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. You know, if he wanted us to know that, hey, it's me, I'm the dude, yo.
He would have told us.
He would have came.
Yeah.
He would have came. And he would have said, I'm here. Hell, we got the Antichrist right now in the presidency in the United States.
Didn't
they say that Jesus was coming when the Antichrist was coming? Didn't they say Jesus was coming when the Antichrist was coming?
They did. Well, I don't think Trump is the Antichrist, though. I really don't.
Well, he must be setting us up for the Antichrist.
Yeah.
We must see the Antichrist coming and be like, damn, you know.
It ain't going to be nothing because of Trump.
Yeah, yeah. We'd be like, he's better than Trump. This must be a setup.
Damn.
But, yeah.
Well,
but, you know,
we got it. Go ahead.
I don't have a heaven or hell. I don't have a heaven or hell.
For anyone, right? We don't have it. So what we going to do, we're going to have Real Nigga Church today on the iHeartMeeko podcast. Okay. So we're going to talk sports. We're going to talk all football with you. I'm not even going to fuck with you about no basketball stuff.
Girl.
I'm not going to do it to you. I ain't going to do it to you. But
I was watching. Let me just say this.
Uh-huh.
Your basketball knowledge to me is far superior than most people's basketball knowledge. And I said that. I said that on Twitter, and everybody got their feelings, blah, blah, blah. You know how it is. Anytime I say something about Meeko, everybody getting their feelings. Blah,
yeah,
whatever.
They don't want you to like me, Omar. You're not supposed to like me, okay? I'm the enemy.
Mm-hmm. But I was watching the Golden State Warriors the other day because mm-hmm. I don't get to watch them West Coast.
Yeah, because you go to bed early. Yeah, you're an early sleeper.
Yes, I was watching the West Coast games, and I was watching all these young cats playing for Golden State, and I was like, "Holy crap! They got scrubs that got more skills than most Heat players." And I'm thinking to myself, like, Jesus Lord, Beaker must be a good coach because all these scrubs out here. And I was like, man, what am I missing when I'm not watching West Coast games? Because I'm watching the East, and it's like, yeah, it's okay. Then the West Coast, these bench players balling.
It's just different. I feel like the East has a little more competition this year. It's a little more well-rounded,
You mean LeBron ain't trying?
Correct. Yeah. Well, not trying, but, you know, he's not at the top. He's not dominating the East. And I feel like when the other teams see that, it kind of motivates people to play harder. And, you know, the East actually is a little more balanced this year to me. There are some teams that surprise me and all that stuff. So I think that it's more fun to watch this year because anybody can really win. Like, it's legit. Like, you know, LeBron is not dominating. And even though he's LeBron, and I feel like he's going to the finals just because he's LeBron, whoever's team has LeBron in it is going to the finals. But it's not guaranteed this year. And, I mean, Kyrie got hurt in Boston, so that, you know, that kind of slows him down. But the Raptors are still balling. You know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough this year. But this is what I love. I like when it's competition. I like when everybody's balling and it's like you don't know who's really going to go. It's kind of fun to be in it like this. Because last year and the year before, I was like, LeBron's going. And he's just coasted his way on through there, you know, easily sweeping everybody. But, you know, this year he's going to have to put some work in and he needs his team. He needs everybody. So it's going to be a fun season. But let's get to this Dolphins talk. Because everybody wants to hear you talk Dolphins. So tell me what you think about the 2017 season, how it went, you know, good, bad, you know, whatever, about 2017 with the Dolphins.
Well, I mean, we've discussed that before. 2017 is what it was. You basically handed the keys over to Adam Gase. He signed up his boys and got the band back together again. And, you know, when Ryan Tannehill went down, he was all on board with Jay Cutler. And ultimately, it produced a 6-10 record. Mm-hmm. Ton of distractions. I don't think any team in the NFL could have really survived as many distractions as they had in terms of a player just skipping the first damn game.
That was tough.
Coach snorting coke. in the meeting rooms, you know, and so many other various things.
Yeah, it was a rough year for the Dolphins this year.
But I think what had happened was Adam Gase learned his shit do stink. He's not walking on water.
Right.
And while I don't think he's learned all the lessons that he needs to learn, because I do believe he's going to be a good coach. I've seen too many things. I've seen too many bad coaches to not know what a bad coach looks like.
Okay.
And I know what a good coach looks like. Now, is he young? Is he green? Is he rough around the edges? Is he an egomaniac? Absolutely. But last season humbled him. Now, this offseason has been about cleansing what they feel was wrong or allegedly the leadership.
So, you know, I don't agree with that, right? You know, I don't believe in that. None of that. They literally got rid of the guys that they knew they were going to have to get rid of because of contract situations. That's what I think. But they're making excuses and shitting on these players and saying, we're getting rid of the cancers in the locker room, we're getting rid of the bad guys. Sue was going to get the fuck out of here regardless this year or have to restructure. Am I right?
If anything, this was going to be his last year.
Yes.
But yes, the guaranteed money was up. Sue had all the power.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized, and it's truthfully speaking, we discussed this the whole time when Sue got here. You added this dude, the best defensive tackle in the game, allegedly, to your defense, saying, we're going to stop the run. If anything, we know we're going to stop the run. This is what we're going to do. We're going to be good at it. And your run defense was worse in the first 2 years under Sue than it was any year that you had the old run defense.
Terrible. I laughed. So
clearly that was a, you know, and I'm not blaming Sue because there's so many different things that go into run defense, but it just ain't work. And then his personality is like, okay, you sign a mercenary and you say, oh, well, yeah, hopefully he can become a leader. Okay, well, you know he ain't been a leader his entire career.
And he's an asshole.
You know all he care about is money, and you know he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, but you ignored all that just because, you know what, we need this guy on our team. We need this kind of alpha male to set the tone, and it didn't work. Okay, so no problem. Chalk that up. Jarvis Landry, that's nothing more than you wasn't willing to offer him $13 million a year more than $13 million a year. Jarvis wanted 16. You never made a second offer.
Didn't even attempt it.
So don't even try to say, like, we tried hard to make it work. No, you switched to, yeah, he was the problem. No.
Yeah, he never ran his routes properly. Yes. When we told him this was the play, he changed the play.
I'm sorry,
he's a problem in the locker room. Why didn't they say any of this shit when he was playing, when they was hyping him up, making him the face of the franchise, mm-hmm. and suddenly there's a contract negotiation issue?
No, they never
issue.
Made him the face of the franchise. They were
attempting to. It
no,
seemed
they
like.
They never did.
It
they
seemed like
did,
they were.
Because no, they okay. never did, which is, they fought it, which is
it
why
happened,
I
though.
Always knew. He inherited it because he was the top player.
Because Tannehill stinks.
They never marketed Jarvis.
I know.
Ever.
But he didn't have to. You know why? Because all he kept doing was breaking records and getting all these catches. They couldn't do anything. They should have just rode the wave. Like, they
made him.
I feel like the Dolphins. Go ahead.
They never wanted to market him because they could never. And it's the same situation. I'm going to have a conversation with you because it's you. You know, Jarvis is a real nigga.
Yeah.
He is, indeed. To people who can't understand what I mean when I say real nigga, like, Jarvis is a real nigga. Like, Jarvis is.
All man, alpha male, no bullshit. Yeah. Like,
correct.
He'll get in your fucking face, too.
Was the little good soldier and spoke when he needed to speak and said everything when he needed to say and tried to be a leader and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, Jarvis is a real nigga. And they can't control that. When they can't control that, they fear that.
They cut you. They want to be able to control you, even if you're famous, even if you're the biggest player on the team. You have to know that they are in control, and you have to respect all that. And Jarvis would have never respected that. Jarvis had issues already, but they ended up trading him. So Jarvis got traded to the Browns. And
correct.
What I want to know from you is, who won this trade? Was this a win for the Jarvis Landry Foundation organization, or was this a win for the Dolphins?
I don't think anybody won.
So everybody lost?
Oh, yeah, everybody lost. If you tell, and here's the reason.
Even the Browns? The Browns lost?
The Browns didn't lose, but Jarvis is a one-year rental. It's like, here's the situation for the Browns. They didn't sign him to a multi-year deal. All they're doing is renting him for 1 year on the franchise tag, and they gave up a fourth-round pick and a seventh-rounder for it. Like, that ain't, if you want to give me a Pro Bowl player for a fourth-round pick and a seventh-round, I'll take it. And you know, clearly that's how trades are getting done, because, hell, Dolphins traded Robert Quinn for a fourth-round and a swap of seventh-rounder.
Mm.
But I don't think Jarvis won, because Jarvis never got the long-term deal that he wanted.
But if he gets one from Cleveland, then it's a win, because that's probably the goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine them giving up those draft picks and not trying to negotiate a long-term deal. Like, why wouldn't they do that?
No, I don't think so, because think about it from this standpoint. They're just trying to turn around the culture, and it's not – don't act like it's easy to get people to go to Cleveland. Like,
money talks, okay? Because I would have definitely been in Cleveland had they raised the price.
I know, it came down to the Dolphins and the Browns a couple years ago.
Money talks, my nigga. We could have definitely been a Brown. I would have been happier, I think.
Nah, you would. Come on, girl. You wouldn't have been happy.
I don't
anyway.
Give a fuck about the record at the end of the year. I thought you knew that. Like, do I like cheering for winners? Yes. Do I want my husband to smile every day from winning?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, but you want him happy. You want him happy.
I don't care if he's happy from September 1st to January 1st. I'm about business, Omar. As long as he's actually healthy and doing what he does, I don't care if they lose. I don't. I want them to win. I'm cheering for them to win. I'm hoping they win. But if they don't, I don't give a fuck. Like, not even a piece.
Clear.
Not a piece. You can't even measure the small amount of fuck I would give about a win or a loss at this point, from what I know about the NFL. Like,
okay.
Why would I care? Honestly.
No.
You know, that's all I'm saying. I know everybody don't feel that way. And my husband don't even feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, he don't think like that, but that's how I one of us has to be the brains and the money. Like, one of us has to be thinking about the bag, securing the bag, and that's it. He can focus on who the best quarterbacks are, who the best D lineman is for him, who's the best D coordinator. I'm trying to see who's trying to run that fucking check, Omar. That's it.
I know you well enough to know you that you mean what you say.
Yeah, so I definitely would have been happy at Brown, and I really am a low-key Browns fan. I think you know that, too. I low-key fuck with the Browns, especially their fan base. I just like that they don't give up. They stink every fucking year, and yet they in that fucking stadium, loud and proud. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Gotta respect it. You guys got Tannehill's weak-ass brother. You guys picked him up, Brock Osweiler. If that ain't his goddamn brother, I don't know who the fuck is. What was that about?
That's a rental. He's just there to take them through training camp. His contract ain't even guaranteed.
So this is not even a competition?
No, come on. It's still no competition. And even when they draft the quarterback, and I do believe they will draft one early, it still won't be a competition. Anybody waiting for it to be a competition is deceiving themselves. Maybe it's a competition in 2019, but nah.
18 is Ryan's.
No comp. Huh?
2018 is Ryan's. Okay.
Yes. Adam Gase is obsessed with Ryan Tannehill. He believes that Tannehill is the reason why he came to Miami. He believes the talent and upside. He likes Tannehill for this simple fact. He does exactly what I tell him to do.
Oh, well, yeah. He is a robot. He's a robot like a motherfucker.
So they all good. Now, does he have an obsession with Baker Mayfield? Absolutely. Does he want Baker Mayfield on his team? Certainly. Will he advocate that they get him? If he's there at 11, absolutely. But reality is, Baker Mayfield won't be there when they're selecting at number 11 because he'll probably end up with the Jets or the Buffalo Bills. The Jets already traded up. The Bills already traded up to get one spot under the Dolphins. They're probably going to trade up on draft day to get ahead of the Dolphins if Baker Mayfield's in the equation. So anybody expecting the Dolphins to end up with Baker Mayfield, it'll be the second coming of Christmas if it happens.
Wow. Okay. I know you got to get out of here. We got some other topics to talk about, Omar. We got to hang on for a second, okay? We're going to run through these other topics quick. But I need to get your opinion on Stephen Ross backtracking, saying that players cannot kneel. Then he said that they lied on him. And then we saw the audio. Clearly, they didn't lie on this nigga.
He didn't say that they lied. He just said that my comments were being misconstrued. Now, this is what is very difficult for me to understand, because Stephen Ross has always said something one way publicly, and he's put his money behind and his actions behind
bullshit.
What he stands for, which is
bullshit.
Okay, which is, let me finish, which is that players have the right to protest injustice, which is real and it's happening, and we see it. Mm-hmm. And this is a good platform for them to do it. What he doesn't like, and this he's very consistent about this, was what he doesn't like is that they've turned Trump and the right has turned players taking a knee into it's transformed.
Why even bring that up if you've talked to your players and you know that's not what they're doing? Why even allow that to creep into the narrative?
It's not about what the intent is, it's what the message that's getting across, and that's
controlled by the media. You are the owner of the team. You actually talk to the players, and they've told you this has nothing to do with the flag or the military. So why do you even care?
I agree with him from this standpoint. If what you're doing is inconsistently and intentionally being misconstrued as this is anti-American. It's not about creating awareness about what happened with Sterling and this young kid in Sacramento. It's not about creating awareness about the injustices that happen every single day, every single month in America. Nobody's getting that. Nobody's hearing that. Nobody's seeing that. All they hear, all they see, all they say is, this is anti-American. Black people hate Americans. That black people, athletes, look
we
at them,
should.
They're so privileged. They're so privileged, and look how they turn their back on this great country that made them millionaires.
Shut up and dribble. And stick to sports.
Yeah, shut up and dribble. Yes, exactly.
But in October, we don't got to shut up and dribble and stick to sports, do we? In November, we don't do that. In April, we don't do that. So it's bullshit. You know that, right? Stephen Ross is bullshit. Why are we doing breast cancer awareness? Why? Why? How many players in the NFL have someone in their family that is suffering from or died from breast cancer? Let's think about it.
You lost me there, Miko, because breast cancer awareness is about marketing and money.
Yes.
All it is.
So then make black people's issues about marketing and money then. Fuck it. Fuck it. Why not? If it's going to wake people up and we get to have a platform where we get to talk about our shit, then fine. Find a way to monetize the shit.
You know what?
If that's what they're going to do.
It's going to wake people up. It's going to wake people up, but then it's going to anger half their fan base who already are uncomfortable with the gains that people of color in this world have made in life.
Yeah.
And they want their America back.
Yeah.
So you can't anger half your fan base.
Yeah, I know. That's why black people, that people feel like black people don't like America. There you go, motherfucker. We can't actually tell y'all the truth. We can't actually speak about what's real, y'all. Everybody wants us to shut up and forget about slavery. But remember all these other American tragedies and issues that are going on. But fuck y'all tragedies and y'all issues and things you're going through. It's bullshit. I'm going to move on because I could go on Stephen Ross all day. Odell Beckham Jr., drama, issues. Do you think they're actually going to trade him?
They're not going to re-sign him. So the best thing that you can
He's sitting out, he said. He said he's not actually playing. Yes. So he's actually going to sit out the whole season is what you're telling me.
He's a liar. And he's a liar, and here's why I can tell you he's a liar. Because you sit out the whole season, you're sitting in the same situation next season that you were sitting in this season. You're gonna show up and you're going to play that accrued year. I guarantee you, you're going to play at least 10 games so that you can get to the franchise tag, and then we'll play this whole game again, and they'll try to trade you and blah, blah, blah.
So he's bluffing. He's bluffing.
Oh, they all bluffing. When you see, name me the last player who sat out an entire season because he didn't like how much he was paying.
Well, sometimes they get a deal. You know, they do get a deal. I've seen players sit out, they get a deal, or they fuck around and be like, you know what? They start seeing them checks coming, not coming in, them negatives in training camp. Shit gets real. It does get real around July.
You might see them accept an initial deal, but I'm sorry, the NFL is not about to give people. The NFL colludes so much. What do you think these other 31 owners are going to say when the Giants, if the Giants buckle to Odell Beckham?
Yeah.
They're going to say,
bitch,
look at
nigga.
All these other niggas.
Yeah.
Look at now you just empower all
you
these other niggas.
You motherfucker. You done gave everybody the juice.
Ahead. So they going, I don't think they're going to trade him because they can't get what he's worth on the open market. And they going to ride out this fifth-year tag, which is why the CBA is bullshit. They're going to ride out this fifth-year price, then ride out his franchise tag, and then maybe you'll see him traded on his franchise tag.
So we're looking at 2020. Odell leaves the Giants.
Maybe you see him traded before the trade deadline because he is under contract, and then get a fresh start with a new team and play the accrued year and then them be on the franchise tag. But I think the divorce – because understand – this is a new era of players. I call it the YouTube era of players. And Jarvis and Odell are the perfect personification of who that type of player is.
That's sick.
Huh?
That's rude, Omar. But go ahead. Cook on, my nigga. Cook on.
They're about marketing themselves. They're about creating their brand, creating their profile, not necessarily about the team. And as they should be, because I believe that every player is his own business and his own entity. And you need to do what you can. Well, this generation of players are actually the ones who are doing it because they're the me generation. And there's no bigger me player other than Odell Beckham. So he's going to do what's in the best interest of Odell Beckham. And I think that has soured the relationship that he's going to have with the Giants. And once that relationship turns sour, we saw this with Jarvis, there's no turning back.
Right. So let me ask you this. Junior0531__, I believe, said, does the NFL set up players? He believes that the Odell Beckham Jr. tape, which all you do is see him holding a brown something in his hand. I smoke weed. I smoke backwoods.
I'm sorry.
Can kind of – it was probably a joint.
That nigga was eating pizza and getting high.
And, yeah, I don't see the problem in the video because Odell has never failed a drug test. However, exactly. Do you think that they, you know, I mean, somebody had to make the tape, but do you think that they set players up, like find stuff like this to during contract time.
No,
this is what a fan is asking.
That chick don't even speak English. She allegedly didn't even know who the hell he was.
You don't need English to set somebody up. Come on. Every bitch knows who Odell is. Don't play with me, Omar.
She a French bitch in Paris.
Who gives a fuck? You know I went to Paris and motherfuckers knew who I was?
That's true. But
these hoes know who Odell is, Omar. You not, no. These hoes know who Odell is. Knock that one off.
According to her story, which I found interesting, I mean, they couldn't even communicate.
You don't need to communicate to fuck, Omar. Sex don't need no language. She know Odell. Everybody know that blonde tipped hair. Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect night. Look dope. They was doing coke. He's smoking kush, eating pizza in the bed. You know, I do the dairy. But, you know, that sounds like a lit-ass night to me. And here this is come, this footage comes out, and now it's fucking up his football career. Why is that fucking up a career of an athlete? I don't get it.
Dude, Miko, that's like the fifth footage of anything that's come out. Odell out here chasing a lot of stuff.
What is the problem? The only problem have with Odell is if he's not performing. That's it.
That's correct.
That's
and he's
it.
Injured right now.
I don't give a fuck what he does in his free time. I don't care how much weed or coke he does or pizza he eats. As long as he passes his drug test and he's in camp balling, that's all that really should matter.
Here is my thought process on the whole Odell situation with the Giants, because I really don't think it's much to do about nothing. I think the Giants have a bigger issue with how much he's demanding, which is quarterback money, $20 million a year.
Yeah.
As opposed
and they're
to
using
the
this footage to act like that's really the problem.
That's what they have a bigger issue with. Because Odell really is the biggest player in the NFL that's not a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the biggest
player. As far as personalities,
Exactly. And that's the problem that the NFL has. There is now a personality in our league.
That's bigger than the shield.
That's bigger than the shield, and we can't control it. And how do we contain it? That's the same thing with Le'Veon Bell. It's a personality in the league that's bigger than the shield. That's not a quarterback, because they can control the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They can control the quarterbacks. They just overpaid them a ridiculous amount of money, and they'd be like, yes, sir. Anything you need, sir. These other players, they can't control them. This generation, this YouTube generation.
Social media, they don't even need you anymore to market them. Speaking of that, Johnny Manziel, one of the biggest, they pretty much crowned him, propped him up, had him ready. Then he turned into a real nigga, got rid of him. Now he has a workout. Hella scouts show up to his workout. Cap can't get nobody to show up. Cap can't get a job. What happens if Johnny Manziel gets a shot before Colin Kaepernick?
That's not fair. That's not fair. Now, here's how I'll tell you that. You know I'm not a Johnny Manziel fan. Johnny Manziel hitched himself to two pro day workouts. Anytime Cap want to go throw at a pro day, I guarantee you a school will invite him.
No.
Because they damn sure need quarterbacks.
I don't believe that
at
all.
If Colin Kaepernick, wherever he's living, let's say he's living in California right now, if he want to go throw at Cal State Fullerton,
you know he's had some he had some days where he worked out and people didn't show up. You know that, right?
No, I did not.
So he, so you saying he needs to hitch himself to someone else's workout?
They didn't show up to see Johnny Manziel. They showed up to the school's pro day, and everybody. If right now Colin Kaepernick wanted to go throw at FAMU pro day, I guarantee FAMU.
Okay,
would say, come on down.
I get what you're saying now.
And scouts would be there because scouts are going to be there anyway. Now, what I do find interesting is that the Patriots have taken an interest, and if there's anybody who can pull that off
is
the Patriots. But here's the, and I want that to happen. I don't want him to sign in the NFL. I want him to go to the CFL and prove not only is he still a good player, but he can stay clean and doesn't need all this high profile attention. Go prove you could ball out there. Go do what Warren Moon had to do. Go do what who's the quarterback that Doug Flutie had to do. Go do that. And then come back to the NFL like, look, I balled. Now can I get this contract? But if anybody wants, the only reason that people are obsessed with Johnny Manziel is because he drives clicks. And quarterbacks always drive clicks, especially Heisman Trophy quarterbacks. They drive clicks.
Yeah.
Clicks drive ratings. It's just
and he's white. Let's not forget that he's white, Omar.
No, because they gonna kill. No, that's not fair. That's not fair because they about to kill the Lamar Jackson clicks about him being horrible at his pro day, and they about to kill this young man, and all of it is because he's
If Johnny Manziel was a black quarterback, he would not be getting these chances, Omar. He would not.
He ain't going to get no chance. He ain't going to get no chance.
We'll see. I don't believe he's going to get. You remember you said this. And don't try to April Fool's me either, because today April Fool's Day, nigga. Don't try me.
If it's not the Patriots, trust me, everybody knows he has a substance abuse problem. And I'm glad that you admitted it and finally said what it is. Now, go show that you can stay sober, because remember, substance abuse is a day-to-day thing. It's a day-to-day struggle for the rest of your life.
It's an hourly struggle sometimes.
Yeah. It ain't, and all the adversity that you face in the NFL, that ain't for the meek. So no. you need to make sure that you can handle what's coming to you in the NFL. Go prove that in the CFL. I if it's not the Patriots, I really don't want it to be in the NFL. And the only reason I want it to be the Patriots is because you know they're going to put him through a meat grinder. He's either going to prove he belongs.
He's going to barbecue or mildew in New England.
Exactly. That's the perfect term. And that's what I want. I just want it to be done.
Well, I want Cap to get a shot. I want somebody to give him a chance.
He ain't never playing again. He ain't never playing
not.
NFL again.
Eric Reed.
Never.
26.
He knew.
We're moving on. We're moving on, Omar. I'm moving on from the white boy. We're going to the black people now. Eric Reed. Top 10 safety in the NFL. Still not signed. Michael Thomas signed with the Giants. Shout out to him. I was so happy that happened for him. But Eric Reed is not signed yet. Still.
Mm-hmm.
In his prime.
Neither are three of the top 10 safeties in the league.
So you're saying this ain't a personal thing?
No, I think it is a personal thing, but I think it's a personal thing targeted to Eric Reed.
Duh.
I've had this conversation with executives. I've had this conversation privately. I've had this conversation with agents privately. And every year the league does some real scandalous bullshit that resets the market at a particular position. Last year, that position was wide receiver. The only one who got paid was DeSean Jackson. Everybody else got a one-year, $8 million a year deal, if that. And then the next year, what you see is the position just balls out of control. The year before that, it was running backs. Then the next year, the Lamar Millers and the Tampa Bay Cat, they got their deals. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the league does this, but every year they pick one position to collude and bring the price down. And this year, it just so happens to be safety. And I think the coincidence of why it just so happens to be safety is because Eric Reed is a safety in that market. And so
you think it was intentional?
Yes, no doubt about it. No doubt.
I just wanted to hear you say. I just wanted to hear you say. No, you can never prove it.
Can never prove it. But what they'll use is the same thing they used with Colin Kaepernick last year. They'll say, "Well, RG3 never found work. This isn't about Kaepernick."
No, it's not.
There's a similar quarterback.
Yeah.
It's just we don't feel like those styles are good fits for us. And now you're looking at the safety market. The safety market has Eric Reed, it has Ron Parker, who is in my mind a top 10 safety, and Kenny Vaccaro, who when healthy, he's a very good difference maker, a good free safety. Right now, all three of those players can help every team in the NFL.
Reed's better than both of them, by the way. Let's just be clear. He's better than both of them. He should have been signed by now. We know that. This league's full of shit. He's going to continue to run into issues because of his stance and because, you know, he put his dick on the table with the coalition. Him and Michael Thomas and a couple other guys put their dick on the table and, you know, left the coalition. And now this is punishment. This looks like punishment to Eric Reed, and I'm proud of him for standing strong. I hope he does get a contract because he deserves to. But, you know, with this league, you fucking never know, man. You never know.
No.
Last
they
subject.
They definitely don't like when you bite the hand that feeds them. No. And they're going to punish you when you do that.
Last topic, Michael Bennett. He turned himself in Monday. He was indicted. First of all, this is a bullshit-ass charge. They talking about a senior citizen that he supposedly shoved to the ground, did all this disrespectful shit to. First of all, I don't believe that at all. You know, then they were saying they couldn't find him after the game. Nick got field passes. He was up on the podium with his brother doing the most. The wife says she has a video of the entire situation, is not going to fly. Apparently, he might have used her shoulder to hop up on the field or something like that. And if you work, I know there's a lot of senior citizens that work at the game. You know, I've been to damn near every stadium. And they always have a big batch of senior citizens that are working the aisle, just kind of standing there, not really doing anything. But, you know, they're making sure that they got some eyeballs around. If these motherfuckers cannot handle a player or someone touching them, even a slight shove, do you know that you're on the field? Like, what if the ball comes flying your way? What if a running back runs out of bounds? Like, you have to have signed something that says, I could get hurt and I'm not going to have them liable. Now, did she get hurt? Hell the fuck no. But these sound like bullshit charges just to take Michael Bennett down because allegedly he made up a police brutality issue in Vegas. Now, let's just say for shits and giggles that he made this Vegas thing up, like a lot of people are saying that he did, right? Let's just say he really did make it up. Does that mean you get to get falsely accused of another crime and everybody should be okay with it?
No, but none of it's okay. But it to the level and extent that they're trying to prosecute the man for something that happened 2 years ago, like, word?
They said it took this long because they had other pressing issues to deal with. Meanwhile, the sheriff over there in Texas calling, you know, he has a lot of words for, you know, black people. You know, like he has issues. He called, you know, the bomber, the nigga that was doing the package bombings and all that shit.
Yeah.
He called him a very troubled man who had challenges in his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he called him. But he's shitting on Michael Bennett, saying he's a horrible person and all this stuff. The police chief, Art Acevedo, is his name. It's called him a low-class individual. How the fuck he know he a low-class individual and never met him before?
Well, because he spoke out against police and police brutality. So that's the one thing I learned from being involved with somebody in law enforcement. There's only one thing that matters, and that's the blue. And and they stick together. You could commit a crime, they're going to cover it up for you.
Yeah,
I've seen that firsthand.
You know, there was a law. So, there was a law made. I think it was like 1669 or something, that a slave owner could kill one of his slaves if he talked back, got out of hand, or even aggressed him in any aggressive manner. It was legal to actually kill him, and you don't get prosecuted. Nothing. Do you know that law still exists today? It was never like abolished. It was never removed or anything. And you know, slave owners and the police were all, you know, in cahoots together. So I really do feel like a lot of this shit is just reproduced from slavery. Like, people really feel like we can die and it's okay. If you feel like you were scared, if you feared yourself. And anybody that speaks out against that, they're coming for you. They're coming for you flat out. And that's sad. I got to see what happens with Michael Bennett, because this is some bullshit. This is really bad.
We in some troubled times, but we already knew we were in some
We knew that.
Times.
Good thing we are tough motherfuckers. We done made it through a lot of shit. And this we're gonna make it through too.
Yep, we are indeed tough. We've endured a lot, and we will continue to endure it, unfortunately.
Yes. But, well, Omar, I'm gonna let you go. I know that you have church shenanigans with the family and
family. Yes. Eat the dinner. Come on now. Family.
You pulling up after that? You pulling up? Because I know you ain't going to be up this way?
No, it's not that far up that way.
Oh, okay.
If I was coming that far up that way, I would.
You'll pull up on me?
This is just right on the Dave Broward borderline. But
okay.
Yeah, I'm coming out. I'm going out tonight. So if you want to come hang out in the woods, come hang out.
I might do that. But tomorrow, we're having a Final Four, a championship party, March Madness party. You have to come. I'll tell you the logistics off the air, but you have to come tomorrow, all right?
All right, holla at you.
I'll holla at you. Thank you.
All right, talk to you later.
Peace. Shout out Omar Kelly for joining me, one of my regulars on the show. For those of you that don't know, I had a radio show with him for 2 years in Miami, so we have a great connection, great chemistry, so I always like having him on. He's always talking about the Dolphins. I have to give Dolphins, you know, a lot of credit, a lot of fame and shine when I have him on, because that's the team he covers. Fuck it, who cares? But shout out Omar Kelly for joining me on the iHeartMiko podcast. Up next, we're going to talk basketball and then probably a whole bunch of shenanigans and fuckery after that, so don't go nowhere. Up next, we have Black Trey from California. Oh, it's ringing.
Nick Millie, what up?
Black Trey, what's good?
What's good?
Yeah, so I had a couple of listeners request you for this episode, just so you know.
Oh, wow.
Because it was some other niggas that I was going to call. I ain't going to lie to you. I fuck with you, you know that. But I thought that people would really be requesting my other nigga. But you had quite a few people that wanted you. No shade.
I mean, shout out to your listeners.
Yeah, because you've only been on once. And these other people been on multiple times. And you were on once.
Okay.
So niggas fuck with you. Well. That's why you here. Welcome back to the iHeartMiko podcast. What you been up to lately? Catch my people ups?
Currently just launched our new network on Patreon, Count the Deans Network.
Okay.
On back-to-back, the back-to-back podcast. And we like feature seven shows.
Dope.
So that's been pretty cool. And then I'm currently out in Oakland, California. I played in the Warriors World charity tournament yesterday.
Smokeland.
So that was pretty fun. Yeah.
Dope.
Yep.
You in Oakland. Is a block hot out there, man?
No, it's been good. Are you talking about with
Stephon Clark? Yeah.
No, it's actually been quiet out here. I'm surprised. But I guess, you know, you have to also factor in a lot of people that are not from California don't understand the difference between Sac and Oakland. Like, they're not the same. It's not the Bay. So, you know, not, you know what I mean? Hopefully the world gets involved, though. So that would be cool.
Okay, cool. Well, I won't hold you too long. We got to dive right on into this basketball talk. First thing I wanted to talk to you about was March Madness. I don't know what that noise is, my nigga. It sounded like somebody slurping an empty Slurpee. What was that?
I think it was a car driving by.
Oh, shit. That shit is ratchet. But I wanted to get your opinion on March Madness. First of all, you know, I don't watch college basketball very much. I start watching around March. When the conference playoffs and all that, that's kind of when I get started. I have a problem with watching what I consider weak basketball. And a lot of college teams have a lot of weak role-playing-ass niggas. And I'm just not really a fan of that kind of basketball. Like, it's fun. And if I went to a college that was on TV all the time, I would probably watch. And if I lived in L.A., I would absolutely support my university, you know, my alumni. But I can't really get into it. But I have to say, this year was kind of interesting. What did you think about this year's March Madness?
It was really difficult. I'm kind of in the same boat as you as far as only tuning in March. So when I was doing my bracket, I was really struggling. Like, it was super frustrating. So, you know, ideally you're going to take the teams that you're familiar with and say, oh, well, they got this one in the bag. And then you kind of throw a random upset. I did not have Chicago Loyola actually reaching.
Nobody.
As far as they did.
Nobody had them out of the first round even, probably.
Probably. You know what I mean? So. I always kind of do my alumni the justice. I always do like a secret bracket where I kind of do a troll and let them go far. Texas Southern didn't do so well.
That's what I'm about to say. Wait, who?
Shout out to TSU.
Okay.
Shout out to TSU, though, man. But, yeah, I definitely – my bracket was in shambles. I had Arizona winning it all, and obviously they got put out.
They got clipped early too. Did you see Gil?
Yeah,
Gil was mad as shit.
Bracket pretty much was gone.
Yo, Gil was mad as shit. He was talking cash. He was betting $300,000, all types of shit on that team, and went missing when it was time to pay.
With everything they dealt with, you felt like they was the most poised team to handle everything, and they wet the bed.
Wet it, my nigga. It was a double. It was a one and two in the bed. That was bad. So that's why, you know, I can't even care. But I have to ask you these questions because the fans want to know. They want to know who's the better duo, Brunson and Bridges or Graham and Newman?
I'm rolling with Brunson because he has the experience.
Okay.
And pretty much like that Villanova team is. As annoying as it is, they're going to end up pretty much getting a win. You know, they're a team. Their whole system, Jay Wright has them like bought in. You know what I mean? Like, they'll run through a wall for that guy. So I think, honestly, they're going to make very few mistakes. And, you know, Michigan's going to have to play their best game to get them.
To just make it even close. Because what I've been watching from them, the one thing that I noticed consistently is they put points on the fucking board. The niggas scored the basketball. And then when they're not scoring the basketball, they are actually playing really good defense. Like, they have an overall great game. And I'm just wondering if Michigan even stands a chance at all.
Let's say for the fans, yeah, I hope so. they're such a one band tune. Like, it's hard to beat those type of teams because they very rarely make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And then they have guys that have championship experience already from the previous years. You know what I mean? Like, well, they get an opportunity to, you know,
mm-hmm. right,
repeat. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like in a scenario of like, hopefully, you know.
Hopefully we have a good game tomorrow.
Really,
hopefully it's a good game.
Yeah, they have a good game.
We just want a good game.
But, I really don't
but it's probably
going to
be an ass whooping. People are saying Brunson is not going to get a shot in the NBA. He's too small. He doesn't fit the build. He just isn't it. What do you think his chances are in the NBA after this season?
Well, the wild thing about college is drafts are all based on potential and youth. Normally guys that are a player of the year or they stay 4 years and they can crack in the loophole are like 14 and lower. So I see Brunson either making a roster late first round or early second round or even getting a camp invite. It's kind of wild for college because most of the European guys bypass those dudes.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. Next subject, we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it really sucks. Earl Boykin said the realest shit ever. If you got to do more than 2 years in college, you ain't shit.
Damn, and he's fired.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just real, though. I mean,
it is
how
true.
Much, how much
you shouldn't be
you,
there 4 years.
How much development do you need?
You shouldn't be there 4 years.
4 years
you have to
lot.
Stay 4 years. The only
unless
reason
you,
I can
unless
see
you promise your mom.
Yeah.
Unless you promise your mom, like, yo, I got to get this degree. Most of the cats are going or made up their mind at 19, 20 years old.
And they already have the skill and the build. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
by that
most
age.
Most of the time, they're normally already set in, and you know what that player is going to be. No one – we don't have the time frame like we gave Marvin Williams back in the day when he was drafted over Chris Paul because he had a stellar freshman year off the bench. He was a sixth man and drafted over Chris Paul and Darren Williams. Let that sink in. And then it took 7 years for him to be – a decent role player.
And he's riding away in Charlotte right now, right?
Yeah. And then now here we are in 2018, your window is less than 2 years.
Yeah. It's changing.
You're trash. You're trash if you don't crack in the first year and a half. Pretty much we're coming for you, especially the power of NBA Twitter.
Switch gears real quick because most of these guys are probably going to end up in the G League or just at home somewhere. So G League playoffs took place this weekend, and Monday and Tuesday, which is tomorrow and the next day, there are going to be the semifinals, and Rio Grande Valley Vipers are playing Austin Spurs, Raptors 905 playing Westchester Knicks. I just have to get this off because, you know, I've been watching some G League games and I'm invested now.
Oh yeah, no, that's the grind right
yes,
there.
Yes, Erie Bay Hawks are playing Fort Wayne Mad Ants and South Bay Lakers are playing the Reno Bighorns. Do you have any information or knowledge? Have you seen these teams play? Do you have any insight to give my listeners?
I really like 905.
Okay.
Stackhouse got those
has been
like
doing his thing.
Prepared.
He has.
Yeah, and hopefully he can.
But they're playing
the
Knicks. The
NBA.
The Westchester Knicks are a good team too.
The Westchester Knicks are actually a good team.
Yeah.
But like, listen, I got a chance to watch the Raptors. The 905 Raptors, and pretty much like they get after it. They're athletic. They're fast. Mm-hmm. They're ready. Like they challenge pretty much every team that kind of steps. And then it's the environment. Like, you know, like they're ready for the big moment. I got my money on them.
Okay. Have you seen the Rio Grande Valley Vipers? I've seen them play,
but I haven't seen
the Spurs play at all.
They're not bad.
They're athletic.
You know what I mean? Like I said, they still do their thing. You know what I mean? Like, they got, you know, good guard play, and then they also have, you know, guys that can finish at the rim and guys that can defend. They have some athletic guys, so I won't count them out, but I just got my money on the Raptors.
Erie Bay Hawks or the Fort Wayne Ants. I haven't seen either one of them in a full game, so I don't feel comfortable talking about them. Have you?
Yeah, I would say I would just kind of go with Erie because I see their name a lot kind of pop up off of some of the guys that get called up and called down.
So they probably, but so, if a lot of guys are getting called up, that's kind of bad for the team. You know that, right? Because guys were getting called up left and right.
Yeah, definitely.
They're scorers, they're rebounders. Guys are getting the fuck out of here. So you have to go with whatever's left, you know? So, but you're going with Erie Bay.
That's the one thing I kind of hate about the G League is because, you know, now the two-way contract is such a big deal and things are how it is. You never get in a full rhythm because you don't know who your teammate is.
Who's staying, who's going, what's game. Yeah, you don't even know what games they're actually going to be playing with you in.
Yeah.
They got to figure that out.
When the rookies come down, they're like, shit, I'm here to get my shot. I play in the league.
Yeah.
Y'all just here. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they take over the whole scenario and throw off all the rhythm of what y'all created. So, you know, it's unfortunate, man, but
Erie Bayhawks.
Like I said, I'm going to go with Erie.
South Bay Lakers or the Reno Bighorns? We both know somebody from the Bighorns, Marcus Williams. He been balling, doing his thing.
I'm gonna go with the Bighorns.
We gotta go with the Bighorns. We gotta represent for him. They lost Aaron Harrison, you know, their lead guy that was one of their lead scorers, but they still kept Cooley. They still got Marcus. They still got some good players on that team, and I believe they won the division. So. This should be a win for them. So it should be Reno versus Erie Bayhawks and Raptors versus Rio Grande is what you're saying. That's what you're going with?
Yeah, I'm going to roll. That's what I'm going with.
All right, I agree with you. We're going to agree with that. The conference finals are Thursday and Friday. Conference final one is Thursday, two is Friday. And then the finals is a best out of three, which is Sunday, Tuesday, and next Friday. So make sure everybody checks that out. I know I'm definitely going to be watching. And if I can, I'm going to try to catch some games because you know I'm thirsty. I'm always thirsty for some good hoop.
I'm thirsty as fuck.
I haven't made it to.
It's definitely a great time.
Yeah, I haven't made it to a lot of NBA games this year, even. I've been slacking, like really slacking on my pimping for real, and I just need to catch up. I'm definitely going to a Raptors game.
You haven't missed much.
I ain't missed shit.
You haven't missed much.
I'm trying to catch a Raptors game in Toronto, in Cleveland. I got to go to fucking Golden State with this nigga Brent. So we going. I'm trying to travel and hit some games, so I might as well hit some G League games too.
Warriors fan?
Definitely, like fucking definitely.
I'm a Bulls fan.
Yeah, because of Derrick Rose. He's a Derrick Rose fan. Wherever Derrick goes, that's where he's going. Okay. Yes, don't even get it twisted. I ain't seen him watch a Bulls game since that nigga left, or a Knicks game. He had me here watching all these goddamn Knicks games. And I was like, oh, man, so when he left and it was over with, so I was kind of happy I didn't have to watch that shit no more.
Yeah, it's a bad state. The teams that's bad are really bad, and then the teams that are good, but, like, this year's been kind of weird because it's been an injury-ridden season.
Yeah, a lot of bullshit, man, a lot of sad shit. We're going to get into all that, the injuries. We're going to talk NBA, but before that, I got to get to what the fans want to hear. They want to know who we think is MVP, Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. Who are your picks? I don't really want to waste time arguing over everybody. I just want to know who your picks are.
Okay, so my picks, I have just written them down too right before. So for MVP, I have James Harden.
And why is that? You know I got to ask why. I'm a goddamn LeBron James fan.
No, it's not. It's not an obvious thing, you know what I mean? Because Harden jumped out, punched everybody in the mouth early, and showed his dominance on the court. And I think that he's completed roughly a good 60% of the season, enough of domination to earn that as the most valuable player. Now, LeBron's making his late push. Anthony Davis last month had a great push. You know, these are guys that you want to consider. Even Damian Lillard had upped his play. So, you know, respect to those guys, but I think this year James finally gets it done.
I think that he gets it quite simply because they tired of giving it to LeBron. LeBron did an interview and he was like, well, I mean, I could win it every year, but they're going to give it to somebody else just because they're tired of giving it to me. Like, do you agree with that? Do you feel like that's what it is?
Can he really win it every year?
He probably can.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, respectable stats. I mean, I'm pretty much out of it on the year 15 campaign. Like, I respect it, dude. You know, you're playing at a high level. You're paying $1.5 million to keep your body up to shape. You know what I mean? To play high levels and, you know, like, a credit to that. He's a great player. But, I mean, I'm just kind of LeBron'd out. I respect the process of him being, you know, upping his play.
in such a late year. But realistically, like, he's still not playing with trash individuals. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these teams.
Are you trying to say Harden is playing with trash individuals?
No, but they just, you know, they're 15-1. You know, like, every time he plays with his teammates, they're losing like one or two games. They're streaking, like, they've had three consecutive streaks of double digit wins.
I mean, I'm just here to argue with you. You know, I'm just here to argue.
I
respect Harden and his game. I'm a fan.
My thing is, they're not making midseason trades every year.
So you just going to go into everything, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to be honest. Like I said, this is not shade to LeBron. I think he's a great player. Congratulations on him passing the GOAT.
And a lot of ways. He's passing him in a lot of stats.
I have a problem with it, but I ain't gonna go into that.
It's not the show for that.
He did have less than 10 in the playoffs, but they cut it off in the regular season.
It's not the right show for that. Okay. It's not the right show for that. Don't do that. Don't do that on my airwaves.
Listen, I ain't gonna do it on your airwaves. But respect to LeBron James and what he's done in his career, and will continue to do in his career.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to give it to James Harden. I think so.
Okay. Rookie.
I think this is James' year.
They are in first place. I got to give them respect. I didn't think they was going to snatch that from the Warriors, but they did.
By a large margin, and they're going to clinch today.
Yeah. I thought they already clinched. I think they clinched already.
You're right.
Yeah, they already
clinched already.
Rookie of the year.
My rookie of the year. So I trolled a lot of people the other night talking about Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell is having an exceptional year.
You was trolling?
I'm gonna be honest.
Were you trolling?
Yeah, I love to troll. that's the thing, because once I channel emotion, whether good or bad, that means it's good content. Overall, I'm going to say Ben Simmons. 9 straight games, averaging a triple-double with less than three turnovers a game. Impressive as hell. And he's only going to get better.
I got no argument. I know Ben Simmons got a lot of people.
I argue for a co.
That's respectful.
I wanted to see Jason Kidd, Grant Hill, and everybody was like, but Ben doesn't have to do this. He's averaging a triple-double. And I'm like, well, Donovan's carrying a forgotten Utah Jazz team. You know, everybody left him for dead when Gordon Hayward bailed for Boston. And I'm like, no, don't worry. This kid's going to be cool. They're like, I don't know who that is. And now he's cracking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's only going to get better, but like I said, Ben Simmons is playing out his mind right now. So I'm going to say Ben Simmons is rookie of the year.
So you going with Ben over Mitchell and everybody else in the world?
I'm just a smidge behind.
Okay, Lou. Yeah,
Sweet Lou has.
He should
Sweet
get that.
Sweet Lou was almost an all-star this year.
It was sad. That was sad.
After a while, you know, everyone gets too boisterous. You know, he felt that he deserved a spot over Jimmy. But at the end of the day, but it wasn't a long standing point. You know what I mean? Like, to be an all-star, the court swag.
Sister wives.
But realistically, we have to factor in a month. But I still felt he should have been an all-star and didn't make it. You know? So, like, it's tough. It's really tough.
It's hard out here for a pimp, is what you're trying to say.
It's hard out here. You know what I mean? It's pretty much. But we'll never forget that year, Lou.
I won't forget it. I promise you, I won't.
He goes down in the real nigga Hall of Fame.
Definitely. Defensive player of the year.
Defensive player of the year.
I don't even have nothing for this. This whole category.
I really like Gobert.
I
really, really like Gobert. But Gobert also missed a lot of time.
What?
I like KD also, though. KD stepped his game up as a two-way player.
I'm done.
You didn't like KD on defense?
Not really. I think those block shots are catfish, my nigga. I'm sorry. I think it's catfish.
So I'm gonna roll. This is not you changing my opinion, but I'm going to stick with Gobert. I really didn't want to hand it to him because I felt like he missed some time because of his injury. But he's still averaging like almost, I think, not only three blocks a game, but close to. And that's it. That's
That's fair.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
That's fair. Coach of the year. It should be easy, but let me see what you going to say.
I'm going to say Dwayne Casey or Mike D'Antoni.
Why are people hating on Casey? Why are they hating on Casey? Why are people saying he's not that dope of a coach?
Because he acts like the daddy on the ATL.
Yo! Yo, that's crazy. I never even thought about that.
He definitely act like Nunu Pops.
Oh, my God.
For real. Like, playing for Dwayne Casey is kind of sometimes like, all right, I'm just trying to have some fun. You won't let me.
Wow. I think Casey deserves his credit this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I definitely didn't have the Raptors finishing first.
Nobody did. If they say they did, they lying.
Yeah. And I also didn't have Fred VanVleet as a six-man candidate. So, yeah. Welcome to 2018.
Yeah. VanVleet, that's another one. Like he was definitely in the six-man discussion with me. I watched a lot of Raptors game. I low-key became a fan this year. And it was really because of the way they were playing. And I was like, look, the Raptors trying to win the East.
Keep
like,
Drake out
fuck?
My locker room.com.
Yo, Drake is annoying. If they fucking go far, he's going to annoy the fuck out of all of us, dog. He definitely is. Drake's going to annoy
great
all
artist.
Of us.
Great artist.
Terrible fan.
Terrible troll.
Terrible fan / fucking troll ass nigga, for real. So I wanted to ask you, biggest surprise teams this year. Who do you think was the biggest surprise? The Jazz, the Pacers, the Sixers, or the Blazers?
Blazers and Pacers. I'm giving you East and West.
Okay.
Definitely didn't have the Blazers finishing or being in top three.
Yeah.
But game up his game. Right after All-Star weekend, he turned it all the way up. Like,
yeah.
Put some respect on my name.
He
and
did.
A lot of cats be kind of hating on Dame because Dame is boisterous and, you know, he gives his opinion and obviously put out the Instagram snub letter and people didn't feel it that way, but I feel like he belongs and he letting everybody know he's a bad man. Respectively, top 3 point guard in the NBA right now.
Man, he's balling. And, you know, I hate that I have to say this, but I have to give CJ a lot of that credit too, because without this Robin on your team, like, it makes things a little more difficult. And he's got Aminu's, that's his name, the little funny looking nigga with the terrible braids.
So Chief, yeah, that's Aminu, yeah, with the terrible brain. So, yeah, that's Chief, man. Chief and Harkless actually stepped their game up all the way. Like, Portland's whole makeup. When your star's playing well and you trust them and you believe in them, mm-hmm. Everybody's playing like they got a facelift right now. I got a chance to catch them versus Cleveland when LeBron had the dunk. And then I also got a chance to watch them against the Pistons. They were rolling. They're hitting threes. They're sharing the ball. And CJ, like you said, he picks up right where Dame left off.
Yeah, he does. They kind of fit each other. I get worried. I get nervous because they always catfish us, my nigga. They always do it to us. So I don't know.
With CJ?
No, just with the Trailblazers overall. Like, they just seem like they always
hyped. They're one player
Even when
away.
They've never been this, away. They've never been seated this high, I don't think. I don't recall anyway. But I just still feel like it's like, I don't trust it. I don't trust it at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, whatever you're looking for in this situation, I say second round exit at best. I want them to really match up with, who was that I wanted? I think it was Denver or something like that. Not sure who it was. But yeah, nothing too crazy though. I'm not going to get out of my seat. I love a playoff game or a playoff CJ because CJ can really turn that bitch up. But
right,
you know, I'm not going to get wild here and say that, you know, they're going to upset the Warriors or something.
Biggest, I don't even want to call them. I'm gonna just say sad pretenders for these niggas: Hawks, Grizz, Magic, or Suns. Who's the saddest? Who's the saddest of them all?
I really can't watch any Suns game. Me living in Arizona, like, not too long ago, it was like pulling teeth trying to go to one of their games. But initially, the Hawks are pretty bad. Like I said, it's just a lot of guys. My Bulls are bad. Like, I mean, realistically, you look at it like, who wants to get these draft picks at this time? It's the tank control of who can lose the best.
Mm-hmm. Damn, who can fucking lose the best? That's sick.
Yeah, that's the point that we're at. And a lot of people question, maybe do we have too many games in the NBA and should we cut it down to raise the competition or to cut out injuries? And I don't think people are getting hurt because the season's long.
No.
I think it's just kind
of... I feel like a lot of niggas is not even getting in shape, too. A lot of niggas are just not in shape and taking the 82 games event for advantage. And for granted, I mean, and just bullshitting, you know? And so that's why I feel like I'm not finna, don't delete, don't, no, I'm not cool. Nick, it's been the 82 games for a long time.
This might be the first year that guys are actually factoring in.
Like attrition.
Yeah.
It's a long haul. It's 82 games. You gotta goddamn be ready.
Haven't even, pretty much got back to where it needs to be. And then you wonder why you have a slight tear in your...
It's just really fun.
Yeah.
And so I feel like a lot of niggas just take it.
It gets trash when you add the politics in the sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so much other stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot. About yesterday, but I always get caught up in actually caring what people think, and I hate when I do that shit. I feel like even the haters, they need attention. They need to know that what they're saying is full of shit. So I have forward to meet me no goddamn where. So, of course, they can't even get to the energy to even have it. You got to arrive the same energy when you see me. And a lot of these niggas ain't flying nowhere. I learned that especially when I thought about it. I've been playing basketball since I was 10 years old, okay? Do you know what I mean? Because I watch a lot of fucking Warriors game. This nigga is like clumsy or something. He's always falling. So when he failed for the MRI, and I was like, this is some bullshit. I felt sorry for Vince Carter. He was crying and all stuff. I should feel bad for saying that, but I don't believe it. He rolled around three times. Did you see him roll on the floor? Yeah, it does.
Like at that particular time.
You do.
Like if you're rolling to your side.
A completely different landing. He didn't move like that. None of that happened. I felt like this is too much. This man is fine. And I would feel terrible if he
would. Try to burn you at a stake today.
They've done it plenty of times, nigga. And I just come out of the ass. He's fine. Like, I obviously wouldn't want him to really be injured. But I really walked away from that thinking, from the moment he fell, he's just fine. He's just fine. Oh, my God.
It's still a rough play because, I mean, obviously Vince felt terrible about, you know, I mean, I felt like Vince was reacting towards the foul being called versus what actually happened.
Yeah.
Scenario. Now, it's kind of hard to shake Coach Killer or Dirty Player because now McCraw, whenever he can return, but it's just unfortunate because, you know, and then we find out that they have something wrong with them and you feel terrible after that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, Meek. I'm super PC now. I don't need to.
Which is Steph Curry missing the first round of the playoffs. Kevin Durant is obviously the best.
He did the whole, Uber confessions thing with Curry champion and was like, oh, Steph Curry. They run differently. Yeah.
It moves different when he's out there. Everything
to the point of where you're like, they haven't missed a beat.
Right.
When Steph's out there, it's the fuck. You know what I mean? Like Draymond's doing what he's doing. Iguodala's doing what he's doing.
He gets everybody involved.
He's on a two-way deal. They have to waive a player for him to actually be, I think they make it out of the first round. Unless it's like... Okay, a hungry OKC joke and say, oh, they loaded up and they did all this. But a playoff Westbrook is a different
one. It's in first place. Well, was anybody – we talked about the Rockets being in first place earlier with Harden. You got?
Like I said, it all depends. I mean, it's the scenario of, like, rooting for the underdog, then the underdog becomes the man, and then the man, Tom.
Okay.
You know, like –
okay.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be mad, but I think I would be kind of mad at the basketball and who can actually win it. Just like this Final Four stuff. Like, I want a question mark there. See a four.
You over it.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm over it.
You
I'm
over the entire, like, this is like a rivalry.
I don't really, you know, like, swapping out players and giving other people opportunities. Like, the win, he's just going to go back and tell us we poor again. If the Warriors don't win, you know, like... All right.
Speaking of Cavs, okay? So the Raptors are in first place. Cavs are sitting in third. They're tied for third with the Sixers, I believe. Embiid obviously just fucked up his orbital bone. He had surgeries. Did you see the tweets on the perks, though? This nigga was wild and tweeting and shit, saying wild shit. But what do you think of the Raptors getting to the finals this year?
I picked them.
You picked them?
Getting out of the East. Yeah.
Okay.
But they've been shaky as of late, but I'm not going to switch up.
Not going to switch up. You got the Raptors against who in the finals? The Cavs?
I'm going to die on the Raptors' heel, and it's going to be the Raptors versus the Cavs.
Cavs. Okay.
Yeah.
I think you might be right on that one. Kawhi situation. Can you update me? I am a low-key Spurs fan. I'm really a Manu Ginobili fan. Let's just keep it real. So as long as he's a Spur, goddamn it, I'm going to be a Spur. But Kawhi, did he decline the contract? Did I hear that right?
So, no, he haven't declined it. He's just kind of sitting there. And they're really kind of factoring in the numbers. Now, he's eligible for a Supermax, which will make over 35 plus a year. And in some years, it's going to kind of increase to like 40-something. It'll be in the 200-something plus range. I think it's like 217 for 5 years.
Why hasn't he signed it, though?
I don't know. I mean, right now, I think his team is just really playing hardball. Because he has a deal that's sitting on the table also for Jordan Brand for $58 million.
And he's off that, too.
Yeah, and he hasn't inked anything. I think he's just mainly focusing on his health, you know, right now. And obviously, he's been cleared to play basketball. But, you know, a lot of people are like, nah, he's just trying to secure the bag, and he doesn't want to mess anything up or expose his injury. And I'm just thinking, like, if you hurt, and the doctor may say, hey, everything's fine, and you don't really feel fine, you know your body more than anybody. And yeah. I want him... You know, in all honesty, I mean, it's not going to roll out until the summertime where we really find out what's going on, whether the Spurs have drama or not, is that, you know, he's making the best decision for him. Now, Pop made a little subtle comment today talking about him and his group, you know, and that's kind of rare from Pop to be throwing, like,
yeah,
that type of shade. At
just
one
the stuff, that the way he's having to talk around this is funny to me because, you know, Pop is a straight shooter or he just tell you to get the fuck on. And he's tiptoeing around a lot of Kawhi questions, like he's strategic, you know. And I'm just like, what? There's something going on here.
At this point, I feel like he genuinely loves Kawhi. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, he's not really, he understands that this is a business long term and that regardless, it's not, I mean, he wants to win, but it's not to that extent of somebody hurting himself. So he's still going to side with Kawhi. Like, despite if he need him or not. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to get overly involved in that. And I thought it was pretty wild for Tony Parker to give a quote saying, oh, my injury was worse or,
It seemed like they up against him. It seemed like they, like, fuck him. Even Manu Ginobili was like, you know, we're playing without him. Like, we have to play like he ain't going to be here.
I personally think that wasn't his call. I personally think that was like a call from up top to tell Tony to speak out.
Wow. That's deep then.
That's kind of like... poke the bear and force him into a guilt.
But the Spurs are such a classy organization. Like, that's just what they're known
this is the
for.
This is the first year they've ever had a leak in their association of quote unquote drama. So that also let us know that the Spurs are actually NBA
they're
team
human.
And not perfect.
They're human.
They're human.
Normal,
you know what I mean?
Like
they have problems just like everybody else. But they've just been so good and tight-lipped over the years of keeping whatever drama
professional. Yeah. Well, yeah. Welcome to the real world, Spurs. Welcome. Thanks for joining the rest of us. Now, we need y'all shenanigans and y'all fuckery in the news, just like we need everybody else's, okay? Last question for you. IT, back in surgery, looks like the Cavs made a good decision getting rid of him because he wouldn't have been able to make it through the 82, let alone the playoffs till June. What's his status going to be after this surgery? Is he staying in LA? Is this a deal breaker? Like, what's happening now?
So the thing is, he will not hit the Brinks truck. The Brinks truck will not be parking.
It won't.
In reverse.
And that's sad because he never got it ever.
Yeah. It didn't pan out. I mean, unfortunately he had to take the road that he's taken and he's going to continue to have to prove himself.
In this scenario, he will not be able to be active until August. So he'll be recovering and be doing renegotiating his contract during recovery. So
you can't overall, even fight for no money while you're recovering, though.
Yeah, my thing is, I ultimately see him back with the Lakers as the reserve or in Phoenix as a starter. Those are my destinations with or the Spurs. I could see him going in the Spurs, like NBA ready. I would like him in the Spurs, to be honest, just because he's, you know, I think Pop could add some control system to him. But realistically, he's not going to get the bag, but he has a chance. I feel like at 31, he can probably be up if he can raise his level of play.
Man, I don't even know if he's going to make it to 31, dog. He just seems broken.
Guys like Martell Webster and someone else that had the same injury never recovered.
I know. It just seems like it's not going to work.
So it's very tough, and I'm rooting for him, but I'm also, I mean, I care about all the players' well-being long-term, being able to function outside of sport.
Yeah.
I never look at it as selfish. Like, I never take the selfish approach and say, oh, yeah, fuck that. Go out there and go hoop. Ain't nobody trying to hear that shit.
No. Fuck
you. Know what I mean? You know what I mean? At the end of the day. So if you feel that's the best move for you, make the best move for you. And, you know what I mean? Like, but this is sports, and we have, you know, in this current era, it's quick attention span. We need now. And if you can't deliver now, you're old news. You're like the old toy thrown in the back of the toy chest.
Yeah. Nobody want to play with you no more. We've already used you up.
Nobody want to play with you no more.
You're washed now. There's new toys. Like, it's a new era and everything. That's sad. But IT didn't deserve this, man. Seemed like he'd been through so much, you know, in the last 2 years.
He went from
an all-star, from like the man, to like, you know, putting Boston on his back, and then his sister passed, and he had like a really, you know, incredible playoff run that everybody knew they wasn't going to make it, but it was just fun to watch. And then now this, he'd been on three teams this year.
Oh yeah, this season?
Yeah. And now it's second surgery this season. Why are they doing this to my nigga IT? Is this a test?
Hey, nope. It is a business.
Yeah.
Leave your feelings out of it. Once people learn that, then you won't have any expectations to be let down. That's all it is. A lot of people are saying, oh, they're cold or this and that. Mm-mm. Because, I mean, you got to look at the Cavalier situation. LeBron wants to make it to the finals, and he can't make it to the finals with bang goods. He needs somebody that can contribute and compliment him immediately. And once that didn't work out, bye, IT.
You're right.
It's not like, oh, it's fucked up.
It's not personal. It's just how it is.
Celtics. Yeah. It's not personal. That's just how it is. Yeah. I always tell people, use the game like they're going to use you. I don't be mad at guys getting overpaid.
I don't.
I say shout out to the agent.
I think it's dope. I don't give a fuck. I don't care how overpaid they are either. I'm like, give it. Give it. Fuck that.
Yeah, get your money.
Because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of players that didn't get their money. And niggas is really just, these are billionaires.
Look at Dirk.
Dirk is in the way of the skill of the team.
He's in the way, but he's during the time that he still has something left in the tank, he stayed loyal to a franchise and took a pay cut.
Yeah.
Plenty times. He might be probably the most underpaid player ever.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he's still out there and can't jump over a stack of newspapers.
You know what I'm saying? And saying he still got 2 more years left.
He ain't got no 2 years left. This is it. If he come back next year, I'm going to flame him on my podcast, my nigga. He needs to just sit down. He's in the way. For real. I get it. He still got a jump shot. I still got a jump shot, nigga. That don't mean I should be in the WNBA. That's just not what that means.
Should Vince Carter and Jason Terry move out of the way?
No. Now, Vince Carter should not at all. Jason Terry, I would say yes. It's time for him to go as well. Vince Carter is not in the way. Like, he literally is not in the way. Like, that's what I think of him. I think Jason Terry's in the way, and I think that Dirk Nowitzki is in the way of the team progressing. You know, I have a lot of respect for Dallas and their team and their guys. I do feel like they have something over there. But with Dirk starting, like, do you ever watch them games? It's so disgusting. It's really bad.
No, I can't lie and say I actually sat through.
I have watched many Mavericks games.
I like Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah, I like watching them. But when Dirk is out there, it's all bad. It's all bad. But I'm gonna
percentage-wise, he's actually doing.
Who cares? Do you see him on defense? Do you see this nigga on defense?
Man, shout out to the blog boys. I'm
representing
the
nigga,
blog boys.
He can't jump over a stack of newspaper. He can't even move left to right. Like, he can't rebound. He can't do nothing but hit fucking shots. He hits shots. Yes, he does. Good job, Dirk. But the rest of it is trash. And that's why I say he's in the way. And then they be having him play like the five. It's like, what? He can't even box out no more. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. But I'm going to let you go, dog. I know you got a long, busy day. We've been on here, goddamn, almost 50 minutes. But I appreciate you. I appreciate your hoops talk. Bless up with all the podcasts and all the movement you're doing. I see you, my nigga. I see you. And I'm going to see your ass in L.A. very, very soon.
Sure. I'll be back tomorrow.
All right.
All right.
All right. Peace. Shout out Black Trey for joining me. One of my good friends from L.A. Black Trey was a hooper also. So I respect his IQ and just his input. The nigga ain't finna bullshit. Damn, I forgot to talk to him about Brandon Jennings getting a contract with the Bucks. What the fuck? Shout out my nigga BJ, dog. Hey, I never doubted you, my nigga. I never doubted you. Shout out to BJ, Brandon Jennings signing with the Bucks. I wish you the best, my nigga. And that's Black Trey and him are like best friends. They were like really, really tight. And I can't even believe he didn't even bring it up. But shout out to my nigga Black Trey for joining me today. And we're finished. I hope you guys enjoyed my very first video episode. I promise you, I'm going to do my very best to be right here every Sunday so that I can give you video, not just audio. I'm going to do my best to be here. I hope you guys like my set. I don't know if you can see it all, but this is really like Miko. This is my life up there. Those are all my medals from tennis, from playing. There's a couple of trophies right here. Wait, right there and over there. Wait, over there. those are my tennis trophies. As you can see, Bubba Chuck's right there. Brent Grimes over there. Rihanna's up there. I don't even know if you can see her, but my studio is coming together. I'm hoping that you guys appreciate all the hard work that I'm trying to bring to you for the podcast. I know that I need to step my fucking game up now, and I recognize and hope that you guys appreciate it. And outro song is Party Next Door. Recognize. I recognize my nigga. I fucking recognize. And I appreciate y'all for listening. I appreciate y'all for fucking with me. Thank you for not abandoning me on my hiatus. But I'll be back every fucking Monday from here on out. Peace.